3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Brent Doherty, Blaine Bishop with you. Mickey has a day off. Hope you're having a great day. NIT action tonight. Murray State plays one seed Old Dominion. Winner goes to New York, playing the NIT Final Four. Game is at 6 on ESPN2. Old Dominion favored by 2. Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas. What do you think about that?
You know, you look at this Old Dominion game, and one of the nation's longest home winning streaks will get put on the line tonight against the Racers. Old Dominion pretty fortunate to get through ISU. Big concern, though, is their point guard, Trey Freeman. Upgraded to probable, just not sure how effective he'll be. Do respect the money, though, on the Monarchs, and I'll stay away from this one myself.
All right, let's go to the NCAA tournament, and Sweet 16 begins tomorrow. And let's start with Kentucky. You've got West Virginia players talking smack, strangely, as they prepare for an undefeated Kentucky Wildcat team and a 13.5-point underdog.
Yeah, not quite sure why these West Virginia players have decided to open their mouths. This Mountaineers team, not nearly as talented as the addition that upset Kentucky a couple of years ago. Kentucky quietly going about business, a little bit undervalued in this spot, if you ask me. 0-2 against the number through their first two games of the tournament. But with all the length and athleticism they have against a team who's the worst shooting field goal percentage-wise of any team remaining in the field, I'm not sure where West Virginia gets their points. I think Kentucky will treat this like a layup line, and I'd lay the lumber here with Kentucky. A little bit shocked the public wants to back the Mountaineers here with the 13.
Okay. All right. Might be changing my mind on that one. Wichita State and Notre Dame, the other end of that bracket. Notre Dame, it looked like it opened as a 1-point favorite, but Wichita State now by 2 last I saw.
Yeah, this number's getting driven up, and it's about a 50-50 mix as far as tickets are concerned, but it's sharp money coming in on the Shockers. You look at these two teams, and they do a lot of the same things, both on the offensive and defensive end. The one problem for Notre Dame is Wichita State, much more efficient defensively. I think you look at the head coaches as well. Despite the distraction of Greg Marshall being thrown about for that Alabama job, I think he'll have his team ready to go and a game plan ready to take care of Notre Dame. I like Wichita State here.
Wisconsin and North Carolina. Wisconsin by 6.5, opened at 5.
Yeah, biggest move on this game, though, not the side from 5 out to 6. Even seeing some 6.5 now. It's actually on the total from 142 out to 145. And part of those are definitely correlated to regarding the status of Kennedy Meeks. If he's not there to alter shots at the rim, Wisconsin may be able to get a lot of good looks on the interior. I have a slight lean towards North Carolina as this number climbs. I think the Tar Heels will be able to compete. Not sure they have enough to win it outright, but I worry about Wisconsin's inability to defend the three-point line. I think Marcus Page can have a lot of success, but not a game that I really run to invest in.
The team I've got winning the tournament is Arizona playing Xavier, Arizona by 11.
I thought you were going to tell me you had Xavier winning the tournament, and then I would be more than happy to try and get down a little futures money for you, Brent. Arizona, this game got as high as 11.5 before you've seen money on the dog. I think it'll continue to trickle in. The big concern, though, for Xavier is Matt Stainbrook should be neutralized completely by the bigs for Arizona. It will feel like a home game at Staples Center, and despite the sharp money coming in on Xavier, I'll make a slight case for Arizona. I do think that Xavier's best chance is to keep this game under the total, trying to slow Arizona down and play in the 60s.
At Todd Furman on Twitter, our guy in Vegas, Todd Furman, talking NCAA tournament.
Well, there's a couple other games out there of interest in this Sweet 16 here, and that's Duke versus Utah and the matchup of the point guard, the 6'6" versus Duke's, I guess, 6'1" guard. So how's this going to roll out, and how does that affect the odds here?
The public remembers what they've seen last, Blaine, and that was Duke putting a hurting on San Diego State, Jahlil Okafor going for 18 points in the first half. But before the tournament started, if these two teams were to meet on a neutral floor, you were looking at Duke about a 1.5 to 2-point favorite. So much like the NFL playoffs, you're paying a premium to back the Blue Devils for their current form. I agree that matchup at point guard going to be a big, big issue for the Blue Devils. I think Utah has enough big bodies to throw at Okafor in the middle. I like Utah here plus the points. I think they're going to have a great opportunity to pull the big upset the round of 16.
Exactly. All righty now, NC State versus Louisville. I'm calling an upset here with NC State. They look like they're pretty hot, and plus the ACC is doing really well in the tournament.
They've definitely done well, and I think, though, Louisville has revenge on their mind from a game they lost at the Yum Center earlier during the regular season. You give me Rick Pitino with time to prepare. My gut is that he's going to develop a much better game plan than Mark Godfrey. NC State's pretty fortunate, in my opinion. Yes, they outplayed Villanova, but it was the Wildcats' ineptness in the half court late in that game, settling for long threes more so than anything else. Louisville's athleticism, too much here. If Rozier can find the success he found against Northern Iowa, I think you're laying a discounted price here with the Cardinal, and I think Louisville marches on to the Elite Eight.
Oh, wow. So I guess you're saying the same thing with Izzo and Michigan State versus Oklahoma.
I do think that there's definitely a coaching edge here. The biggest problem, though, for me is the number. Michigan State, Oklahoma, again, before the tournament, you were looking at the Sooners a one-point favorite. Now, line value at this point of the year, you know, normally will lead you one way or another. I can't make a case to back Oklahoma here for just that reason. I think Izzo will have a better game plan than Lon Kruger. I think Michigan State more physical. But there's no value backing Sparty in this particular spot, not knowing that 78% of the tickets from the general public also coming in on Michigan State. They've been the biggest mover in the futures market from 50 or 60 to 1 all the way down to 12.
All right, well, tell me a former Hoosier who's the head coach of UCLA, Alford, is favored to win over Gonzaga. What?
Steve Alford enters this game as a heavy underdog. UCLA catching 8.5 from the Zags. But an interesting note, when you look at the starting five of these two teams, I think they're a lot more even than the 8.5-point number reflects. This was a regular season game with normal rest and TV timeouts. I think you look at Gonzaga figuring they can wear them down. But during the NCAA tournament, you have a longer halftime. It seems like you get an extra 30 seconds to a minute. And I think UCLA is going to use that to their advantage. Assuming little Alford helps big Alford out, UCLA a live underdog. I'm not sure they'll have enough to win it, but 8.5 feels like a rich, rich price to lay, considering Gonzaga only laid 6.5 to the Iowa Hawkeyes last weekend.
Does Vegas even do the odds on the women's tournament?
There are odds on the women's tournament, really? But they haven't been posted for the next round just yet. You did have UConn approaching a 60-point favorite. And, of course, as I say that...
No. You don't. You can't slide that in here 60. With UT about to play Gonzaga. What's going on here?
They were a heavy favorite there. Well, actually, you know what? And now I do see the numbers for the next set of games, the round of 16. Tennessee, a 10.5-point favorite in what will feel like a de facto road game up there in Spokane, taking on Gonzaga. But that's a far cry from UConn, laying 28 in their competitive matchup against Texas in the round of 16.
Well, naturally, we want to know about the Preds versus Tampa Bay Lightning.
You know what? Big win for the Preds last night.
No doubt.
Taking care of Montreal, and most likely Vezina Trophy winner in Carey Price, who I think should get serious consideration to be league MVP as well.
Yeah.
When you look at the Preds, you know, they're a pretty prohibitive underdog. About $1.30 heading down to Tampa. Of course, both these teams in a playoff race, and Tampa would love nothing more than to thank Nashville for beating Montreal and then stealing 2 points from the Preds, who play their second game on this road trip.
Well, I was about to ask you before I asked the Preds, but I wanted to wait to ask the Preds. But naturally, you know, I have to always ask you about a prop bet, and the prop bet is who will be Alabama's next head coach, because me and the mayor have a bet that it will be Greg Marshall, and they'll bring the $3 million.
Will be Greg Marshall.
Yeah, exactly. And he will be the coach. Who's leading the lead here on being the coach of?
You know what? I haven't really heard any other names thrown around, and if Alabama's doing a search, you know, behind, you know, under the radar, they're going to keep it quiet. Obviously, the big story, like you guys said, throwing $3 million at Greg Marshall. If we're going Marshall or the field here, I'd make the field a $1.30 favorite. I can't see Marshall giving up everything he's built in Wichita to go to a program, even with the support of Nick Saban, where he knows basketball will always be second fiddle to football. I think he's going to look for a basketball-first head coaching job. Bigger question, though, is will Bobby Hurley take a job in my backyard for the team I grew up rooting for as new head coach of the DePaul Blue Demons? I'm hoping that's the case and it gets announced over the weekend.
Well, Buffalo just upped the ante. Did you know that?
They did, but DePaul's got a little bit of deeper pockets in the
they
Big
do.
East, and there are some prominent alums who have grown frustrated with the recent hires of Jerry Wainwright and Oliver Purnell there. I won't call myself an alum, but I wouldn't be donating anything from a season ticket standpoint for the team I grew up watching about 15 games live every year at Rosemont
Blue Horizon. Demons. Yeah, all I remember is Terry Cummings. Who else played there? There were some other guys there.
He had Mark Aguirre. He had teams Mark in the Aguirre. Late 90s. Rod Strickland.
Strickland, that's who I'm thinking
I used to watch him on WGN.
I used to like the unis.
They were a great team to watch, and really thought when before Dave Lato left to take the head coaching job at Virginia, the likes of Sammy Mejia, Wilson Chandler, and Quentin Richardson were going to put them back on the map, but they've truly become an afterthought at this point, drawing attendance of about 1,500 a game during conference.
Right. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Last prop bet. What do you think it is? Silence by Todd Furman. Come on, Todd Furman. What are the odds that the Titans sell the organization?
I'm not sure I even have anywhere to go with that particular prop.
I got you, finally.
Blaine, you finally found a way to stump me, and it's not crocodiles beating up against other animals and members of the animal kingdom. I'm going to leave that to you, figuring out the Titans are going to
Although,
stop.
I was just there last week.
We were just talking during a break. We haven't brought it up on air. Like, if all the SEC mascots, like the real animals, battled to the death, I guess LSU Tiger, maybe? Or would the elephant beat the tiger?
Yeah.
No, I think I'm going to go with a Commodore. I think he'll come in armed with plenty of plenty of firearms, and he'll be able to shoot every animal that'll get in his way.
The Commodore does not have firearms.
Yeah, he's got like a fleet, that guy.
That cannot take an elephant down.
Cannon will beat an elephant, I think. Good stuff, Todd. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
He went Commodore. That's a good call.
Yeah, that is a good call.
By Todd. I didn't think about that.